Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, maybe today we should call ourselves Winnie Radio.
Horse Radio? I don't know.
Yeah, man, because Bark Radio listeners, we've got a really unique interview today, and I'll let Terry tell you all about it, but we're very excited about this.
We are very excited. We have Maureen from GrassrootsHorse.com, and the subject that we're going to talk about today is sort of the dilemma of the wild Mustangs and what's going on with them and the BLM, which is Bureau of Land Management. So welcome, Maureen.
Oh, thank you very much.
Welcome, Maureen. So to start with, please tell our listeners about what's going on with the wild Mustangs out west and then segue into what the BLM is doing and what your organization is trying to do.
Okay. Well, right now what's happening is the Bureau of Land Management has really waged what could only be described as an all-out assault on wild horse and burros. And they are rounding them up at breakneck speed. And part of the dilemma is that they have been doing this to a lesser degree, but still aggressively, for the past 5 years. And we at present now have more wild horses in government holding, which are called long-term holding facilities, in the Midwestern states, than we do out that are free roaming on the range.
Oh, that's just wrong.
It makes no sense.
Especially when it costs the taxpayers, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
$100,000 each and every day.
Just to have these beautiful horses pinned up somewhere.
That's right.
That's insane.
$36.5 million, and they are rounding up more of them with nowhere to put them.
Why?
Well, the issue seems to be, historically it was they wanted to get rid of the horses for cattle ranching permits, because in the areas that have been rounded up so far this year, some of the excuses were, well, the range can't handle the wild horses. And yet, when the horses are removed, they increase the cattle grazing permits.
A little fishy, don't we think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a greasy deal.
Mm-hmm. And the other part of that greasy deal is that we subsidize that ranching. And they pay, in order to get a leasing permit, they pay what they paid in the 1960s. Each lease should cost about $9 a cow by the standard, you know, to graze a cow. And they pay, I think it's $1.60. So we subsidize that program to the tune of millions each and every year.
So we're subsidizing the ranchers and we are just trying to apparently eliminate our wild horses.
They are absolutely being, quote, managed to extinction. And another element of the equation is that there are the mineral mining and extraction leases and permits and energy projects. So it's no coincidence that this aggressive roundups that have been happening in 2010 all happen to have energy projects attached to them. And the Bureau of Land Management even admits in papers, which you can see at the Grassroots Horse website, they did a report that said, we don't have the manpower, we don't have the resources, we don't have competent employees to conduct correct environmental assessments. And yet we're being pushed by the government so hard to issue permits for these energy projects and mining.
Okay,
and what's really frightening, I find it extremely frightening, is that all the same big players are involved in the western states. Right now, part of what's ran through the Calico Complex and also the most recent roundup in what they're calling Tuscarora will accommodate something called the Ruby Pipeline. It will be the world's largest natural gas pipeline, span, I think it's 7 or 8 states. And even by their own papers, contractors working on it, you know, when they had to go through their environmental, process reviews, said that area is going to look like Hiroshima when this pipeline comes through. And lo and behold, the second company to gain from this pipeline is BP.
Of course. Oh, my God. Okay, so is that a done deal?
It is. They got the approval to go ahead with it. And what's interesting was also what came out in Freedom of Information Act requests was a memo between the Bureau of Land Management and the Ruby Corporation is the company that owns Ruby Pipeline, but the parent company is El Paso, which, you know, just Google it and you'll get an earful. In these Freedom of Information Act papers, it said, you know, when they were talking about different problems, and not that the wild horses would be a problem, they'll just avoid the area altogether, they said BLM will remove wild horses to accommodate.
Aha, dandy.
On our dime. I mean, just even if you don't think about the horrific nature of what they do to these family units, and that many of these horses end up in horse slaughter, that, you know, not only that, but we have to pay for it besides.
Well, Maureen, talk to us, tell our listeners about what you mentioned earlier before we started recording about these horses and their family units, how they live together.
Oh, yeah, it's really a special, special thing. They have very complex family units and social orders of the families together. And like they'll have a family would be called a band. And they interact in probably what would be the best example of community. You know, you have your elder horses who teach the younger horses at the appropriate time. You know, the stallion will, you know, kick the young male horses out of the family unit. And, you know, there's always everything in the horse communities, there's a reason to it. And there's a justice to it that everyone understands, and they're very close. So when these families, when they herd these horses in, when they round them up with these helicopters, they are tearing apart families. They put all the stallions together, and they wonder why stallions break their legs and break necks because they're all fighting with each other because it's not normal for the stallions to be together. They put all the mares together, and they put together these single-sex groups, and unless they're adopted out, they will live in these segregated groups for the rest of their lives, which is not natural.
Oh, that's horrible. They're just literally ripping apart family units.
That's crazy. Now, how many, and I would, in my mind, imagine it's somewhat low, but how many actually get adopted?
I don't know the statistics on it, but what's happening is, a lot of the horses, and this is just, you know, my opinion from what I've seen, is that it's not easy for the horses to live in. I mean, they're native to these western states. This is the environment that they thrive in. If you take a Mustang and you send him back east, the grass, the climate, they get sick, they have foot issues, which, you know, there's an old saying, no hoof, no horse. And, you know, because they die from these complications. So they're not equipped to thrive in environments other than the western states, which was the purpose of these are also supposedly federally protected animals. And they're protected under I'm sorry, what was that?
I don't get that. How can they be federally protected and they're losing their homes?
They were granted by a congressional mandate in the 70s. That they would have 50 million acres to be free-roaming, to live as free-roaming, you know, wild horses and burros, the burros too, and that they should live with minimal intervention from the government, you know, from any, that they would have minimal management, and that they would be free from harassment and torture. And that, so basically it was, you know, just let them live out here. Here's their 50 million acres. They're such an important part of who we are as a country and, you know, intrinsic to building America, that this is what they're entitled to. And they're reduced now to less than 20 million acres. The government agencies just take it away. And that's the part that really scares me, because if people, one of the many parts, is that if people are not animal lovers or they can't get behind the horse thing, these are your public lands. These lands are being degraded by these you know, by cattle ranching, by grazing, by these energy projects. And, you know, we're never going to get them back. And you also talk about a government that's not transparent. They changed the laws to suit themselves. And, you know, it's just reminiscent in my mind of, you know, how the Nazis took power. You know what I mean? Before it was over, before they people even knew what was going on.
Absolutely. Everything's done behind closed doors.
Right. And what also, you know, they had this act where they're supposed to be protected. And then in, I think it was 2005, Senator Harry Reid, this is according to Senator Conrad Burns, in an interview he did with Horseback Magazine, said that Harry contacted him and said he had a problem and I need you to help me fix it. And in answer to that, they met behind closed doors and Conrad Burns crafted something called the Burns Amendment. And they slipped it in as a rider to an appropriations bill, I believe it was an appropriations bill, that no one read, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning before a holiday break. And the only way that people found out about it was the government printing office contacted people to say, did you know this is in this bill? This is attached to this? And as senators were outraged and tried to fix it, they were thwarted because none other than Conrad Burns headed up the committee that would you know, be the committee to fix it.
Good Lord. Oh, my God.
Right? So if you can't get behind the animal issue of it, which is bad enough, if you can't get behind the money issue of it, I mean, there's just so many issues that every American, you know, even Europeans are upset about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's an outrage. Now, okay, so you got me really mad. Now what do we do?
Well, what I would love for people to do, for you to do, anybody to do, is to go to Grassroots Horse, and it's grassrootshorse.com. And the reason why I started it was really a place for people to go, and they could get some information. And I didn't need to reinvent the wheel because there were many excellent, you know, wild horse advocate groups and even environmental groups that did fantastic research. So at that site, you'll see links to these other websites that have, you know, great information. And then, you know, you can contact me. You can contact, you know, volunteer info and, you know, see if there's some area that interests you. You know, do you like research? Do you like fundraising? Do you want to get out in the field? Because a good part of it is we work with Herd Watch, which was founded by Laura Lee, and it's basically a citizen action group, which is just like Grassroots Horse. And they, you know, people will go out into the herd management areas, and they will, you know, take, you know, document evidence on what does the range look like. Because what's also happening is, you know, and it happened recently in this Tuscarora roundup that occurred, that, you know, the government said, the BLM said, oh, this is an emergency roundup. There's no water for these horses. And there was legal action happening at the time, which actually, you know, grassroots, you know, citizens involved in the Grassroots Horse chipped in to help bring the action. That's how mad we are.
Good.
The BLM told the judge, there's drought conditions out there. There's no water. And we have to do this as an emergency. Well, guess what? There was plenty of water.
They were lying.
Plenty of water, and there were certain areas that were actually fenced off from the horses.
Oh, make a drop where there is none.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
And what was interesting also about one thing that did come out of that lawsuit, I mean, things are still pending because there is a case, we'll see if the judge will hear it, on contempt of court because the Bureau of Land Management lied about what was out there, and there's documented evidence. And
wow.
So far, 31 horses have died from that. And that's just the count we know about because it's all done in secret. And they, with all the vast public lands, they don't round them up on public lands. They round them up on private ranches so that the public can't come and watch.
Oh, man.
They can close them out.
Pine balls, I swear.
Just greasy deal after greasy action. I mean, just corruption everywhere. It's making me crazy.
Yeah, and part of this lawsuit that, you know, Laura had brought and supported by us, and we're actually the only place that is supporting her efforts in, on the legal front, is that we did something no one else did, is also bring a complaint on a First Amendment issue. You can't bar the public from seeing what you're doing. And the judge did rule in her favor. 12 hours it took her to arrive out to the location because, you know, this is what, you know, living on, I'm on the East Coast. And, you know, you don't realize, wow, we're talking about the middle of nowhere.
Huge amounts of land, yeah.
Right. It's a 12-hour drive to get out to the site. So she arrives at the site with a federal judge saying, you have the right to be there. You have the right to document this. They won't let her in.
You're kidding me.
They would not let her in.
What did she do?
And, well, she did stay till, you know, this is what she did do. She tried to, at least they said, no, it's on private land and you don't have permission to go, which later on found out was not the truth. She had permission to go from the landowner, but they just didn't want her there.
They being the government.
Being the BLM.
Yeah.
And so what they did do, which really, if you're not mad now, if you weren't mad before, you'll be mad now. They called the sheriff on her.
Are you kidding me?
To make sure that she, and luckily she was with two other women. So now you're talking about three women in the desert. And the sheriff and his men, he didn't come alone, made it clear that he was called to watch them to make sure that they did not go on private land, that they stayed on public land, and they followed them into the desert.
Well, that's scary.
Well, that's
yes.
Taxpayer funds.
Okay, that's wrong on so many different levels, I can't even count them all.
Exactly.
So much corruption. It's just madness.
And so we need somebody with really deep pockets and a helicopter to get this nice woman where she needs to go quickly.
Yes, exactly. And a four-wheel drive. We're desperately looking for a four-wheel drive right now to help get out into the desert or even just some access to it. I was thinking what a great advertising opportunity it would be for someone who had maybe a Jeep dealership or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous idea. Yeah, I mean, the people who are fighting this on the ground need the right tools.
Exactly.
To even make any kind of impact, because obviously, big government agency man block you every inch of the way. They're used to having the power to do that.
That's right.
And they're used to having people respond by backing off.
Exactly.
And you can't back off because the end result is going to be we'll have no more wild Mustangs.
Exactly. And the public lands that we think are ours are not really ours.
Mm. Mm.
They're being sold out from underneath us in these, you know, private deals between, you know, what they call out there the Rolex ranchers.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that pretty well describes them, eh?
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it? Yeah. And we, the taxpayers, are paying for this stuff and losing something so precious to us. And what actually, you know, years ago, I mean, you know, they don't always respond to the Freedom of Information Act requests. But they did respond to one, some animal group. I think I can't remember which one it was, actually. Had gotten memos, interdepartmental memos from the BLM, and they were in these memos discussing how they could get rid of horses in long-term holding by euthanizing them, selling them to slaughter, without triggering an Environmental Protection Act investigation.
Dandy.
Isn't it? It's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. So I think what we need to come up here with here is a plan of attack. So what we'll put on Bark Radio's website are links, for starters, to Grassroots Horse.
Right.
And also a really important one is Herdwatch.
Okay.
We'll put that one up as well.
Okay.
And see if we can't get some folks listening, responding, looking more into this. For one thing, our listeners are animal lovers, and probably not a small a number of them are horse people as well as dog people. So, you know, if we can get a conversation going, if we can get people just talking about it and sharing this with other folks, just to make more Americans, well, people worldwide, aware of what insanity is going on in our Western lands.
Right, and you know, our website, grassrootshorse.com, is being translated into German.
All right. Good for you.
And I was down at the protest rally in Washington, D.C., and German television covered it.
Seriously?
I can't believe that we're doing this to our to these horses, or that we're allowing it, like we have a choice here.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's a lot of allowing going on.
Yeah,
yeah, who's
exactly
in charge?
The crooks.
Yeah, really? What's that about democracy? Hello? There's some people flipping over in their graves, I think,
yeah,
just to know that this is going on. Well, what we try to do, Maureen, is seriously give people some tools, and that's what we'll try to do through our website and through this interview.
Great.
And just inform them. I mean, I had no idea this was going on, which makes me a little bit crazy that I didn't know.
I'd actually been following it this year,
mm-hmm,
and that's why actually I saw something from Maureen on Twitter, I believe it was, how I caught your information, and we went
right
from there. And it's like,
I'm my flying cloud.
Yes, there you go, my flying cloud, yeah. So, you know, I think it's great information, but I think a lot of people just don't know.
Well, so thank you so much for
well,
being
can I just
with
say
me
one,
today, Maureen.
Can
and
I say one thing that I think
sure
is important to remember? For people who, you know, whether they're the dog lovers, the cat lovers, or, you know, whatever their, you know, their special animal is that if we don't fight the first fight, the second fight is harder and the third fight is lost.
You're
and when
right
they come for the horses, and they come, you know, and the end result is these, you know, horrific things happening to them, then they'll come for the dogs and they'll come for the cats. You know
that's
what I'm
true
saying?
It's true. And any other wild animals that happen to
right, or the birds,
be protected,
or
right? I'm thinking wolves, but anyway.
Yes, that's right.
But you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
We can't sit back and do nothing.
Right. That's the worst thing you can do, is do nothing.
Yep.
So.
Exactly.
All right, Maureen. Maureen, I appreciate your time today. And
oh, thank you.
Good information. We absolutely are ecstatic to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for thinking of me and for even taking an interest in what's going on. I'm so grateful.
And we will revisit this in the future. We like to have guests like you back a couple of times a year, Maureen, just especially if something new is going on, if there are updates that our listeners need to know about. So we'll be in touch.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank
Thanks
you.
Bye-bye.